Thank you, brother. Can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear and see me? Thank you. Thank you. My apologies for this last minute mishap. I didn't cause it. There's some mechanical problems on the flight, and so we're grounded, and the decision was that the flight would be canceled. So instead of flying up and having to deal with a lot of logistic problems, and obviously the main thing on my mind is all of you in various locations and venues and so on. Any changes would be would affect all of you. So the decision by the brothers was that I would just come home and fellowship with you or talk to you, like I usually do in a lot of the other Saturday mornings. I hope you're okay with this. I think I felt, very peaceful. I'm not flustered or bothered. Why? Because I think our chief shepherd is in control. He is shepherding us and leading us and guiding us and protecting us in every way for his own sake, for his name's sake, and also for the sake of his own desire and purpose. Now, I must admit to you, in these days, more than ever, I'm just filled to the brim with this matter of shepherding. It's has permeated this matter, every aspect, even of my own service and my own life before the Lord. Whenever I consider him as the shepherd of my soul. Now, last time I remember we had quite a good meeting, and part of which is I went through in a very, very quick way Psalm 23, and just to enjoy that the Lord's all-inclusive, personal, tender, and thorough care in his shepherding each one of us. Subsequent to this last Saturday, I have a local meeting here with the sisters in the church in Irvine, as we do periodically. And I just have the burden to get into that psalm again, which we did. And I did that in a more thorough way. In fact, we also spent a couple of hours, with a breakfast snack break. I managed to spend a total of an hour and a half, maybe a little bit more, on that psalm again. So for those of you who are interested, particularly the sisters, I think there's a way you can get on to the Church in Irvine website. I don't even know what it is. I think churchinirvine.org, something like that. And there may be a way for you to access that particular fellowship. So that caused me to ask you to sing 527 this morning. Actually, across the page in our hymnal in 528, we have again another hymn on Psalm 23. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thy unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. This song is special to me because after I was saved when I was 11 years old, back in Hong Kong, in the church in Hong Kong, I started as a young kid to attend the Lord's Table meeting. And in those days, the Lord's Table always took place in the evening of the Lord's Day in various venues. In my case, it was in an office building, in an office. And there would be this group of saints, I don't remember, maybe for sure less than 30, maybe 20, 25 saints. And most of them are older than me, much older than me, including my dear grandmother, who would take me there. So I was this little kid, just feeling very out of place and don't know what I'm doing there. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I cannot forget those Lord's Table. And much later on, when I read Brother Watchman Nee's recount in 1936 of the first Lord's Table ever in the Lord's Recovery, if you will, that would be 1921 or 22, with just three saints, and that would be Watchman Nee, Mr. and Mrs. Leland Wong, an older, slightly older contemporary of Brother Watchman Nee. In those days, they were barely, Watchman Nee was barely less than 20 years old. And there, led by the Lord, they left the denominations, they were baptized, and they have the feeling, the peace, that they must remember the Lord by having the Lord's Supper. And so they felt led, just the three of them, in some house near the campus of the school that evidently he was attending, and broke bread. And Brother Nee, in his own words, he said, I remember two things, something like this. You can double check and read his testimony in that is quoted in the biography of him by Brother Witness Lee. He said, I remember how sour the drink was, and how a bit moldy the bread was. But then he said, I also remember, I could never forget, he said, in eternity, how close heaven was to the earth. And so I would not have the same kind of recollection of these Lord's Supper that I partake of as a kid, but something similar. I still remember to this day the taste of that wine, and the taste of that bread. And I would not know what is heaven being so close to the earth. I was 11 or 12. But I do remember amongst many songs that were sung, this particular hymn 528, usually sung by the saints present when they begin to worship the Father. So they sang this hymn as a worship to the Father God. Remember this hymn. I just remember this hymn. And so even though my understanding and appreciation were lacking for sure, being so young, but this hymn and the goodness of this hymn surely have gotten into me. Psalm 23, a psalm that my dear grandmother would read to us and quite often. Now, as I'm thinking about hymns here, dear saints, I just came upon again our brother Witness Lee back in, I think, 1996, around summertime. He gave maybe up to 8 talks to his own family members, his children and his grandchildren, who were gathered together in his house. This is maybe less than a year, I have to verify that, before he passed away in 1997. And in his opening word in the first talk that he gave to his family, he referred to this hymn. I don't know whether they sang it together as a family, but he opened with this hymn, number 671 in our hymnal. He said, it's a hymn that he treasured. This is talking to his folks, his family. It's a song that I treasure and sung often. He said it's content because its content matches my experience throughout my life. Now, this is Brother Lee. At that point, he had released the high peak of the divine revelation. He was an old Jacob there for sure, fully matured, and have arrived, you may say, at the zenith of his Christian life and even of his ministry life. Yet in talking to his own, he referred to this rather simple hymn, and let me read it to you. You can open it in your hymnal. Deep down into the depths of this thy name, my God, I sink and dwell in calm delight. Thou art enough, however long the day. Thou art enough, however dark the night. Thou art my God, the all-sufficient one, right? El Shaddai, and it was his name, is his name. Thou canst create for me whatever I lack. Thy mighty hand has strewn the lonely track with miracles of love and tender care. That sounds like shepherding to me. For me, thy trusting one, my God, I dare once more to fling myself upon thy breast and there adore the ways in faith's deep rest and there adore thy ways in faith's quiet rest. Just a mere three stanzas. And yet this ministry of the age would refer this hymn to his family because it described his life. I was just simply impressed that he didn't talk about Brother Lee, his accomplishments, his service, so many things, but he simply talked about how the Lord shepherded him in the three verses of this simple hymn. So he is just like you and me. He's just like any one of us. He's just like David, who wrote Psalm 23, in the same way at the end of his life, simply recalling how the Lord shepherded him through those decades, how the Lord did miracles of love and care in his life. Whatever things he passed through, day or night, so much so that Brother Lee could just simply trust in him, flinging himself upon the Lord's breast and find deep and quiet rest in his journey of faith in him. Well, maybe I'm being sentimental, I don't know. But brothers and sisters, as we are burdened for this matter of shepherding, you have to start here. And that is how the Lord actually is truly the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. And as I am thinking about this further, I then recall in those last years of Brother Lee's speaking on so-called High Peak matters, on the side of life, he spoke concerning the God-man living. And some of you may remember the God-man living. And that is, you may say, the ultimate description of the Christian life, simply the living of a God-man. And also in those years, he spoke much concerning the so-called organic salvation of Christ. The organic salvation of Christ, which is taking place in our lives in this age today. And we are all in that process, even right now. And in both of these speaking, and on top of that, the third thing in his speaking was in those days he was still going through the vital group training, the vital group training. In these three things, these three kind of lines of fellowship that Brother Lee was burdened to have, I tell you, the spirit of shepherding permeated them all. I need not tell you that in the vital group training, that would be the third series of that particular training. His theme, his emphasis, his stress is nothing else but shepherding. The shepherding, which includes the cherishing of Christ, of Jesus in his humanity and the nourishing of Christ in his divinity. And with both of these, he is shepherding us. And how we as vital members of his, we as vital groups coming together, we should do the same. And that is to cherish others, the young, the new, the needy, the backslidden, all kinds of people around us, that we should do the very same thing, and that is to shepherd them likewise, to cherish them in Jesus' humanity, and to nourish them in Christ's humanity. That is our service. That, you may say, brothers and sisters, is the consummate service of Christ. That, by the way, he is still carrying on today in the heavens at God's right hand. And within our spirit, in our being, he is today still carrying out his shepherding ministry as a continuation of his ministry while he was in this flesh. He came to shepherd the house of Israel. And through his death and resurrection, I now begin to see and appreciate all this lovely, full processes of the triune God in Christ, all as one whole shepherding process. His death, his incarnation is a shepherding, isn't it? To come and visit us in time and space by taking on blood and flesh, to be the same as we are. Isn't that a shepherding? For sure. His whole living on the earth is a process of shepherding, actually not just the house of Israel, but by extension, all of the sinners. His dying on the cross, that, brothers and sisters, is the ultimate act of laying down his life for his sheep, the good shepherd. His resurrection to become the life-giving spirit is so that he can indwell us to be the dear, available shepherd in us, right inside of us, as that life-giving compound spirit. The second comforter, through his going and his coming, he is now not only that advocate above at God's right hand, interceding for us in a shepherding way, but he today actually is indwelling us, living in our spirit, joined to our spirit as one spirit to do what? To supply us, to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to do all the things in Psalm 23. Every verse of that psalm signifies this wonderful, processed, and consummated triune God in Christ as the Spirit, causing us not to have want, leading down us to the pastures and to rest by the waters, leading us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, taking us through the valley of shadow of death so that we can fear no evil, but rather spreading a table in front of our adversaries, anointing our head with oil, and following us as the goodness and mercy, the length of our days, until we dwell in the house, that mutual dwelling place of God and man, not only in the church, in this age's body, but in eternity, in that great universal tabernacle of God with man, the New Jerusalem. Dear brothers and sisters, do you see? Do you see? It's all shepherding. If you are so filled with this, if your eyes are open to this, brothers and sisters, we are his members. We are his duplication. We're his extension. We're his body. There's only one thing for us to do today, and that is to imitate him in the way of life, to do exactly what he did and still doing to others around us. Our whole life, Christian life, living as a God-man, is simply what? To enjoy the Lord's shepherding of us. This is our Christian life. In John 10, when he talked about himself as the good shepherd, he said, "I come that they may have life, that is all of us, and it can have it more abundantly." He came to regenerate us. Do you know his regenerating us with his divine life is an act of shepherding? As the good shepherd, laying down his life to give us his life, Zoe life, and following that, feeding us, shepherding us as his sheep, who knows his voice and whose names he knows personally, each one of us. That's what he did, he came to do, and that's what he is still doing today. And today, as such, he is the shepherd of our souls. In our walk today, in our whole life today, the problem is not so much our spirit nor our body. Our body is a problem, but one day that body will be changed. Today, our main problem is our soul. Our soul is our person. And the Lord is the shepherd of our souls today. Our Christian life is simply a life of experiencing his shepherding of our soul, our mind, our emotion, our will. Today, what he is doing every day, every minute, he is caring for our soulish condition. He is not just the shepherd of our soul. It says in Peter, he is the overseer of our soul. He's watching over it. All the difficulties in our soul, all the needs in our soul, all the pains and hurts in our souls. He oversees all of that condition, and he cares for our inner situation, even situation that we are not aware of, that we don't even know ourselves. He knows, and he's shepherding that. And that's the way he's accomplishing his organic salvation in each one of us. He is in the spirit, one spirit with us, doing what? spreading into our soul. Our emotions goes up and down, go crazy. He is there to calm it in a gentle way. Our mind is all over the place. We don't even know what to think. We get depressed. We get all kinds of things. We don't know what to think. We are just troubled. He is the shepherding our mind. Our will, we don't know how to make decisions. We don't know where to go. We're just flustered. The Lord is there to, with his rod and staff, to lead, to guide, to protect, to help us to make the right decisions. He is the shepherd of our souls. And by doing this, he is effecting that uniting and blending and mingling and incorporating of us and God. No wonder after resurrection in the major visitation of this pneumatic Christ with his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, particularly in his visitation of Peter, after securing the affirmation of his love towards him, he had only one thing to say, three times, "Shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs, and feed my sheep." Just as what I'm doing to you now, all of you backslidden in the Sea of Tiberias, making a livelihood, your livelihood, going back to your old profession. I'm here shepherding you. Now you go and shepherd my sheep, my little lambs. I recall two places, brothers and sisters, and if I'm here caught up with these feelings and still not getting into the outline, I ask for your forgiveness, but I cannot help it. It is important for us. My burden, brothers and sisters, is this matter of shepherding would have a serious, major breakthrough in the Lord's recovery. That henceforth, all of us will become not only the shepherded, but the shepherds, following our chief shepherd to shepherd people around us. And that every local church would be a shepherding station, a shepherd's tent. That our service in the church life, our church life indeed, would be characterized by just shepherding. Of ourselves being shepherded and ourselves shepherding others. So you have here one of the major verse in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, referring to this matter. Chapter 40, verse 11, referring to God, the triune God. He will feed his flock as a shepherd. This mighty one, this ruling and judging God, this Christ will come in prophecy to be a shepherd, to care for his flock by ruling them, correcting them, and by feeding them. It says, in his arm he will gather the lambs, in his bosom he will carry them. He will lead those who are nursing the young. So here he is, prophetically, Christ will be feeding his flock, gathering the lambs. I like this. This is just exactly the same as John 21. The Lord not only care for the flock in general or even the sheep, but he had a particular feeling for the little lambs. The little lambs, brothers and sisters, gathering them in his arm and carrying them in his bosom. And then even leading those who are nursing the young, that there would be some sheep who are nursing their young, the Lord will lead them. Aren't we those? And shouldn't we be those? We are sheep ourselves, needing his shepherding, but we're also nursing some young ones. And the Lord would lead us in that process. The other place that we have to refer to is Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It's right there in the beginning of this book. Tell me, you whom my soul loves. So again, the love is expressed just like Peter. Lord, you know I love you. So here, that this daughter of Jerusalem telling his beloved of her love towards him. Where do you pass? And this one asking, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like one who is veiled beside the flocks of your companions? I want to know, where's your flock? Clearly, this beloved is a shepherd. Is a shepherd himself. If you yourself do not know, the answer came, you fairest among women, go forth on the footsteps of the flock. I have a flock, yes. You just go forth and follow its footsteps. Just stay with the flock because that flock is mine. And my one job is to shepherd my own flock and pasture your young goats. This woman have some young goats. Pasture your young goats by the shepherd's tents. There, this shepherd's is plural. There are many shepherds. He is the chief shepherd. The beloved is the chief shepherd, and yet all his seekers, all his followers, all his lovers are his little shepherds who should, number one, go forth and follow the footsteps of the flock, and number two, should also pasture their goats, their young, by their own tents. Every church, local church, should be a shepherd's tent. Every home, our household, our family should be a shepherd's tent as well. So that so many little lambs, so many needy sheep will receive the adequate shepherding, not only of the Lord directly, but also indirectly through us, the little shepherds. So that through feeding, through our care, through our leading, continuously in an all-inclusive, tender way, just like the chief shepherd himself. In other words, as Peter said to the elders, shepherding according to God, that means shepherding like God. That means shepherding as God does in Christ, the very same way, caring for their souls, caring for their inward situation, according to God's nature, according to God's way, not according to ourselves, not according to our disposition, but according to God, we would care for his flock, his sheep, his lambs. As God is working himself into us through this kind of shepherding, we would dispense this very God whom we have experienced into these young ones to cherish them, to nourish them, so that they would experience God's nature as well, God's life as well. Friends, sisters, I think you should have a feeling of my deep burden about this matter. Today, let me say this. It is in this shepherding way Christ is working out the organic salvation daily in us, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from day to day, renewing us, sanctifying us, transforming us. All of that is this shepherding work. And all of this is to build up his body, the body of Christ. So we should all do the same thing. I call on the churches in Northern California to take the lead. Every church, every leading brother, every saint, great or small, it does not matter. You can be a little sister who is a high schooler. Doesn't matter. Or you can be a senior brother, most mature. In this matter, in the same way, we would all shepherd the Lord's flock, the Lord's sheep, and the little lambs. Every day, that's what we do. That's our church life. In the meeting, the spirit of shepherding would be there. In our one-on-one care of people, it's just shepherding. In our solving someone's problems, it's not about solving problems, really. It's about shepherding, ministering and dispensing this Christ and following his way to care for the same souls, the inward condition. In our prayers, brothers, our prayers should be shepherding prayers in an all-inclusive, tender, personal way. My dear saints, I tell you, we will all be busy, so busy, day and night, doing nothing but. I pray, I hope, that a genuine revival will come because of this breakthrough, this kind of a church life. I think this is really God's ordained way. whether it is begetting, whether it is feeding, whether it is teaching, whether it is building, it's all one word, shepherding. Now, I'd like to just start with lesson five, the outline in front of you. I'm just going to use this outline to finish this session and also the next session as well. I'm going to give to you a homework of getting into lesson six, which is after this. I believe, I don't know, this is how your outlines are numbered, and that is shepherding the believers progressively. I'm going to give that to you as an assignment to study and get into. All right, here we go. Shepherding the new believers in the home meetings. I would like to say you can almost cross out in home meetings. Or when I talk about, or this outline talk about home meetings, or when Brother Lee talk about home meetings, I like you to think about not just a meeting, a small group meeting in your home Friday night. Don't think that way, okay? Don't think home meetings as that kind of a home meeting. Rather, think about one-on-one. Think about a couple of you visiting a saint. You and your wife caring for a young student, okay? Think that way. Don't think about a meeting. I know the word is used there, but think about more a visitation, a time together with a sheep or a little lamb that you're caring for. All right? Think that way and apply these points in that way. Really, when we care for people in this way, we are a vital member. We are a vital group. That's it. Oh, that in every local church in the Bay Area, in Northern Cal, it's just saying after saying individually, two by two, two or three, just doing this weekly, weekly. I wouldn't say daily, but I would say weekly. I don't care if you're doing it over Zoom, better nowadays in person, whether you're inviting someone to your home for a meal, whether you're visiting someone where they live, whether you're having coffee or tea with them. And in any kind of moment or circumstances, you are just shepherding. You are just shepherding. All right, one, the second step in the God-ordained way is to have meetings with the new believers in their homes. Again, okay, translation. You are spending time with new believers. And also this word new believers, you can change it to young believers. You can change it to a backslidden believer. You can change it to a weak believer. You can change it to a needy believer. We must have proper home meetings in order for our fruit to remain. Again, change it to we must have proper contact with them, visitation with them, a time with them. Whether it be 10 minutes, whether it be 30 minutes, whether it be an hour, it depends. We need to set aside time, brothers, during the week. Some of us to set aside two, three times a week. Some of us can only set aside one time a week. But every week, brothers and sisters, be practical. Be practical. Set up the time. Set up the day. The same day, the same time. It's like you're going to do a job. You're a shepherd. That is a job. Build up the habit. Don't leave it to chances or inspirations. The sheep is waiting to be fed, to be cared for. Go. Call them. Arrange appointments with them, visit them, invite them. Just spend time with them to shepherd them. A, there are four elements that constitute a meeting. Well, constitute a time with your sheep, with your lambs, the word of God, the mingled spirit. Of course, we need the Lord's word. We should be in our spirit, of course, when we do this, singing and praying. Yes, in your visit, sing a song. Sometimes the best thing is a verse of a hymn that you are touched by. Really, and prayer. They may not even be able to pray a long prayer, but you can pray. Something of substance, something that is applicable to his or her situation, something real and genuine, not as a formula. These four things, word, the spirit, the song, and prayer should be there. The more we have the living word, the more we exercise the spirit, the more we sing and pray, the more that meeting, that appointment, that contact will be strengthened and built up. This is not a program. Sometimes there's no singing at all. Sometimes there is just a prayer. This word of God, you may not open your Bible, but you speak a verse that is so appropriate to the need of the time. But all the time, your spirit is exercised. You're one with the shepherd himself. You're one with the Lord, with his feeling, with his sensation. Every little contact is important. Our contact with people, every little one, even if it's 5 minutes, it will add up. We need to be normal and spontaneous by living in the spirit. It's important words, normal, spontaneous. Don't be pretentious. Don't be condescending. Don't turn that time into something so official and so rigid. Just be normal, human, flexible, relaxed. We must learn to forget religion. This is not some religious time. This is not someone coming to some priest in Catholic Church to do a confession. Forget about all those things. The Lord, remember when he was on the earth? He's just so human with little ch children. Let the little children come to me. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, because I'm gentle. I'm tender. Just come. Whatever burdens you would have, just come. Once we enter the home, once we meet with someone, we have to be very living and spontaneous. I don't mean living, jumping up and down in that way, but you are just alive with God, with Christ. The living God is just with you, but you're so spontaneous. No program, because while you're with this person, you are sensing where they are and the Lord's anointing within you, in what to say, what to do. If you learn to practice this way, you will already be halfway to a success. Dear Saints, all this come learning come by doing. I actually will not say more to you about how to do this. You just go. You just start. Have you found someone yet after all these weeks of my speaking? Do you have names that you're praying for? Do you have someone that you're already starting to meet with and visit? Start, brothers and sisters. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't say, I don't know how to do it. By learning, by doing, you will know. We must be able, D, huh? Able to speak the proper word or sing the proper song so that the meeting can begin in a very living way. This is in the context of a meeting, but our normal contact with the believers, with the saints, even with an unbeliever that needs our shepherding to salvation, the same thing. You may be led by the Lord. Can I sing a little song to you? And he may say, whoa, this is kind of embarrassing. What is this? But you're not performing. You're not, you know what I mean, trying to embarrass someone. You're just full of the Lord. You're filled in spirit with a psalm, with a song. Maybe you don't sing it. You just mention, you just recall the lines, the lyrics. Yeah, you just share that in an intimate way with some explanation of why that song is so touching to you, so real to you. Brothers and sisters, you just don't know. You just don't know. The Lord is living. We must learn to grasp the time to speak something of the word, even if it's only for a few minutes. Maybe that's all the time. It's a coffee break. It's a lunch time. You just have a few minutes. Grasp that to say little something of the word. Don't give a message. Never give a message when you shepherd others. Never. Never just give doctrines and, heavy duty points of the truth. If you know how to be with people, you won't do that. Rather, you say something very living, very real. You just quote part of a verse and you say a few words about that in a particular way as the Spirit leads you to this person under your care. It's best to use a verse from the Bible. I think those of us who have the experience knows this. The Bible is powerful. The word is powerful in itself. The word is authoritative. We don't beat people with a Bible. You just gently refer to a verse, to a word, and that will be effectual. The word of God is living and operative, able to discern the soul from spirit. That word will get into this person and begin to divide the spirit and the soul, will begin to expose the, to reveal the intents of his heart and cause him to turn to God, maybe. We must impart this verse into the ones we're visiting to fulfill our main purpose. Never have a time to care for someone without the little living word of the Lord. So for this, we need to know the Lord's word, don't we? We need to study the ministry, don't we? For our shepherding and care for other people. To take F this way is not easy because it requires us to be properly equipped with much knowledge of the truth and the experience of life. Well, we may not be fully equipped and so richly experienced, but we have to start somewhere. We just start where we are. To the degree we have the Lord's word, some knowledge of the truth, to the degree that we have some experience of life, Christ as our life, in this way or that, we have something. So go, don't wait. Go. This person knows less than you do. This person have less experience than you. So you do have something to give to them.